Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
So the past few Sundays have really been challenging in a sense that really we are now in a position to process and deal with these teachings of Christ, right? He's given them to us, especially with Sermon on the Mount. Everybody that was gathered there, they're listening and they're going, wow, this is way different than what we grew up hearing. This is a different understanding, and that's what Jesus wants to do in each one of us. So remember I said that Jesus is taking the people's current understanding and perception about the law, and now he's expanding it in the context of the gospel message. And we always have to understand that. That's why it's important to read the New Testament. Maybe you love the Old Testament because there's a lot of history and there's a lot of battles and there's a lot of cool stuff going on there. But we can never forsake the New Testament. We got to focus in on the New Testament. We got to focus in on the words of Jesus and his gospel message. Because once we do, everything starts to make sense. Now, for those that were gathered during the Sermon on the Mount, on the side of the mountain, it was very much an invitation to change their thinking and their heart, right? So Jesus, they gathered around and he made his way up, and what he began to speak was so tangible, it was so good, it was so solid, that it began to change their thinking, and it did begin to change their heart. This is what you have heard. This is what your current understanding is. But I say to you, this is what you may think you know. This is how you think things go. But this is what Jesus' teachings are. Jesus is now saying something more. It's not that he held it back or the Old Testament is wrong. It's that there's a new revelation because the Messiah, the Savior of the world, is on the scene. And Jesus is not only challenging them, but inviting them to something greater. It's an invitation to follow him. It's an invitation for that greater understanding that will change their life. Does that sound familiar at all in regards of what Jesus does to each one of us? Because it should. It should, because the very same thing Jesus taught, the wisdom of the Father and the counsel of the Holy Spirit, all of those things that were going on there, those are the same things he wants to do in each one of us. So these messages, they're challenging to us. And though we've probably read the Sermon on the Mount several times before, when we slow down and we really linger on it, I don't know how you could walk out of here without being challenged in some way or another. Turn with me to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, today's text, we're going to be in Matthew 5, 33 to 37. Today, we look at Jesus' teaching about oaths. Oaths. It's a weird thing. It's a weird transition, but here is our text for today. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, there's those five words again, but I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of our great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil. Now, I'm reading this text for today, and I know where we've been, and we've been through the Beatitudes and salt and light, and then kind of those harder messages over the last few weeks, and I have to say that this seems to be a little anticlimactic after we've been through so much. I mean, I was a little bit nervous about last week's message on divorce. I was nervous about the message before that on lust, because divorce and lust and all of those things are so prominent in our culture. It's like, I want to deliver those in a loving way so people don't shut down and are like, man, I'm never going back to that church because they talk about that kind of stuff and now I feel bad and I don't need that. That kind of stuff goes through a pastor's mind. But then I rely on the Holy Spirit, and he gets me through these hard messages. And again, like I said, the response to those messages were great. And then all of a sudden, oaths. We're going to talk about oaths, about yes and no and things like that. But again, if Jesus found it necessary to address this and to teach on this topic, then we need to listen to what he's saying, and we need to receive what he is saying. We also need context for the time this teaching was spoken, right? So this was a couple thousand years ago, and Jesus is primarily speaking to the Jewish people, right? And their culture and the things that they were currently in. So we got to understand that context. Then we can understand how this teaching is relevant to each one of us today, tomorrow, next week. To start off with, I want to gain an understanding of what Jesus is really addressing here. See, this passage has everything to do with a person's character. We don't want to just say, oh, it's about oaths. Let's just skip this. I don't even know what that means. And yeah, the Bible says don't swear, right? Well, no, that's not the full context of this passage. Because this passage has everything to do with our character. Really, to the heart of what it means to really live out being a child of God. See, way back in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verses 21 and 23, we find this. If you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from vowing, you will not be guilty of sin. You shall be careful to do what has passed your lips, for you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. Here, by reading this, we can gain a better understanding about God's view on vows or oaths, or promises that are made in his name or to each other. See, it's serious business. And God, according to this passage, requires his people to keep their promises to him and to others. God desires that. If you make a promise, if you take an oath, God looks at that as serious business. God is impressing on the people the serious nature of the vows or promises that are made. And within this, we also gain an understanding that lying, right, being deceptive or being hypocritical, it has no place among God's people. So now, within this context, we see Jesus again expanding upon the requirements of the law and moving the people into a position to understand why. Back to Matthew 5:33, it says, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all. See, back then it was customary that you would take an oath or a vow during a business process, right? If something was going on, if I was going to buy your land or maybe sell you some oxen or things like that, the normal part of that business transaction would involve a vow or an oath. And really, with a lot of arrangements and agreements of that day, they would take a vow or an oath. But now we see Jesus challenging the people and saying, don't do it at all. Just don't take an oath at all. Why? Why would he make such a statement? Why would he change the business process of the day in such a dramatic way? Well, it's simple. It's because our integrity and our character should be such that there is no need to take an oath in the first place. You guys understand that and get that? That if we have the integrity that we should, we don't have to go out on this limb and say, oh, no, wait, really, I promise. This time I'll really do it because I've promised. We're dealing with a character issue. Sometimes, you know, I'll be with people or I'll be in a situation like this, and I'll be in the audience and somebody up front, and I've probably been guilty of saying this as well, so forgive me if I have, but sometimes I hear people say, could I be totally honest with you right now? Could I just be totally honest with you? And I kind of chuckle in my mind, and I think, so you want to be honest with me now? So what about all these other times that you talked to me without saying that? Are you not totally honest with me then? Or why are you having to say, can I be totally honest with you right now? Like, this is what Jesus is talking about. Do we understand where Jesus is going here? Do we understand what Jesus is getting at? You don't need to make a specific oath for each specific situation. Because if we're living a godly life, our character should reflect that. We should never say, no, really, I promise. I promise I'll do this. Promise me that you will do this the next time. No, that's meaning that, okay, if I have to do it this time, I'll do it. But all the other times, do I have to? Let me just be honest with you. No, we need to throw that kind of speaking out of there and just say, hey, you know, when Pastor gets up there, he's honest with us all the time, even when he doesn't say, can I be honest with you? And actually, in Chi Alpha and stuff, we had a Chi Alpha guy, and I shouldn't say this because these are recorded and anybody could listen to these. And if that guy listens, he's going to be like, I know who he's talking about. But one guy would always get up there and he'd always use two statements. And whenever we would, all the students would look at me and laugh. One of them was, can I be totally honest with you guys? And the other one was this, let's unpack that. Let's unpack that for a while. So it's funny things that we say, but when we think the basis of those things, can I be totally honest with you? Can I be totally honest with you all the time without saying that? Can we just get that straight right now? That's what we're talking about here. See, as a result, when we do those things, everything we say and everything we state, everything that we do is in accordance with us being a Christ follower. It is here we see Jesus moving and challenging the people to move us from a religious attitude bound by rules to that of what it really means to be a follower of Christ. Oaths. Who'd have thought? There's so much going on here with our character and our understanding of what it truly means to follow Christ. If you don't already know this, please listen closely to what I'm about to say. Being a Christian is not having a bunch of rules that we have to follow. That's what the world thinks. Being a Christian is not about all these rules that we are forced to follow. Being a Christian is about living a life of freedom that is guided by the Holy Spirit. It's about living the principles and teachings of Jesus. It's about understanding that because he loved us so much, we get to invite him in. And a life that comes into our body, we get to then follow him in a such a way that glorifies him. It's a want to. It's not a have to. Following Christ isn't a have to. It's an absolute want to. We glorify Christ because of what he has done and because we want to, not because he's holding a club over our head saying, if you don't do it, I'm going to knock you down. I'm going to knock you down. I'm going to knock you down. That's not the God we serve. It's about the standard of our character being measured by Christ and not of this world. And it's about understanding that truly, truly greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. And because of that, I choose to live and interact and hold myself to God's standard and not anything else. If I have the true character that God desires us to have and that Jesus forgave me from and the Holy Spirit is living in me, when I have that true character, man, my standard is that high. It's not a standard measured by anything else, because every other thing in this world will always try to pull you down to its level, right? You ever hear the saying, water seeks its own level? We live in a world who wants to pull you down. It's going to tell you your standard doesn't have to be that high. You don't really have to do that. That's not really for you. When it comes to murder and adultery and divorce, oh, you don't have to really believe that, because we live in a world and things are different today, and maybe that was them for them back then, but everything has changed. That's not the truth. The truth is Jesus has given us these teachings so that our standard can be his standard. And it's a standard that nobody can live up to. But by the power of the Holy Spirit and the freedom in salvation, we can. It is him that builds us up to do such a thing. And because of this, I choose to live and interact and hold myself to God's standard and not anything else. Jesus speaks in John chapter 8 in verses 31 and 32 about this freedom. It says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We've all heard that. We've all heard that passage. But if you really look into that and you understand what's going on, you will know the truth. The truth is the teachings of Jesus. The truth is the essence of God. And once we know that truth, that is the truth that comes into our lives, and we are set free. What are we set free from? The bondage of sin, the deception of the world, the hopelessness that lives with inside of us. That is all, man, that all, we get set free from that bondage. And it's the Word of God. It's the gospel message. It's the Holy Spirit that truly sets us free. If you abide in my Word, you are truly my disciple. That means this whole word. That means the teachings that we're going through, even the hard ones that we're going through right now, and the easy ones that we're going to be going through. When we abide in that, we're truly a disciple. And when we're a disciple, we know the truth. And as a result, we are set free, because his truth sets us free. We should rejoice about that. We should get excited about that. And our heart should break over it, because too many people out there don't know the truth. And they're in bondage, and they are longing to be set free. And we play a role in that. Our character plays a role in that. His truth brings freedom from the bondage of this world, from the bondage of religion. It's what Jesus is doing right now. He's speaking to these people, and he's breaking the bondage of the religious, the God's way had evolved into something that was crazy. And all these people are just trying to live by the rules, and they don't know why, and they're falling short. And that's that religious process. The Pharisees were putting so much on the people, and Jesus here is speaking in a way that breaks the bondage of the religion of that day. And it also breaks the bondage of the self-induced chains that a lot of us put on ourselves, right? Put these chains on ourselves that we're never good enough, that we can never live up, that this is my name, and I'm a whatever, a gambler, I'm a druggie, I'm an addict, I'm a whatever. God comes in and says, the truth of my gospel breaks those chains, and the ability to live a character that's in accordance with Jesus' teaching is well within our grasp. Let me tell you this, character matters. Character matters. What we say matters. What we say matters. When we say yes to something, it matters. When we agree to do something, it matters. When we say we're not going to do something, it matters. What we agree to do absolutely matters. If you say you're going to do something, you don't have to promise. It's your word should be enough. So as we go through this and we think about this, how does this really relate to us today? What can you take out of here this morning? Well, we got to face it. We got to face the facts that we live in a culture right now that seems to seems to sacrifice truth whenever it's convenient, right? Oh yeah, we know this to be true, but in this aspect, you know, it would be a whole lot easier if I didn't do it that way, or I broke the law this way, or I rewrote some things this way. If you've purchased a house in the last few years, you know the mountain of paperwork and contracts that you have to sign, right? It's all these things. And why do you have to sign all those papers? Josh, why do you have to sign this many papers when you buy a house? Because too many people are saying things that aren't true. And I remember the funniest one I had to sign was something weird like, if you make a mistake signing any of the other papers, you're now signing this that said it was a mistake. And it's like, are you kidding me? Really? Can't I just buy a house? It takes longer to actually go through all of that than to get the loan or to act. Well, it took forever for us to find a house, but that was our realtor's problem. Not at all. Best realtor right there in the back of the back row. Back way in the back row, Josh. Come on forward. But you have all this stuff, and it's necessary because not everything we say as a population is always true. Do you guys know that the courts are clogged with laws and lawyers settling issues between people? It's like, my goodness, you know why healthcare costs are so high? It's because people and doctors and lawyers, they're all involved and everybody's saying, hey, that doctor misdiagnosed you, let's sue him. It's like all these different things. Where is the character in all of those things? You see, we hear statements like, just because I said that doesn't mean I really meant that. No, actually, if you said it, it does mean you meant it. So be careful what you say. Here's another reason why this teaching is so relevant to us today. Because in a society and culture that finds it basically hard to tell the truth, I mean, let's face it, it's hard for people to tell the truth right now. Jesus is calling us to a higher standard. Jesus is calling us to his standard. He's calling us to have integrity. He's calling us to have character at all times and in all situations, not when somebody says, can I be totally honest with you right now? No, we throw that out and we understand that all the time I'm totally honest. All the time when I say something, it's important to not speak the things that I'm not going to truly back up. So he's calling us to have that integrity in our relationships, in our workplace, within any dealings with other people. If we go back to Matthew 5:37, simply says this, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Not yes, I promise, or yes, we can make a contract about that. Yes, sometimes because we're living in such a world that loves contracts and things like that, sometimes we have to play that game. But, you know, you watch the old, like, man, I'm kind of into watching Andy Griffiths on Netflix because there's a lot of junk on Netflix. But, man, it's like I watch that and it's fun. And it's like the handshake. It's like, hey, yeah, I'll be there to help you. And they shake hands and the guy's there to help them. Anymore, it's kind of like, yeah, I told so-and-so I'd help them move, but I got busy doing other things. That's not the character that we're talking about. We need to be simply yes or no. And let our yeses be yes, and let our noes be no. Can you imagine how much simpler and better life would be if everyone adopted this basic understanding? Now, if we all did adopt this basic understanding of yes is yes, no is no, we don't need all this extra stuff in here, I full well understand that a change like this would throw our government and our politicians into full chaos. I understand that because politics is disgusting in terms of the lying and the manipulation that is going on right now. You want to see the opposite of what Jesus is talking about? Pull out your phone right now and get on the news. You can read thing after thing after thing about the lies and the deception. And Jesus is now, we're reading this that was spoken 2,000 years ago, but my goodness, doesn't it apply right now? Yes is yes. No is no. Character matters. I also know that because of our sin, because we live in a fallen world, things will only continue to get worse and worse. If you're looking at things right now and thinking, you know, 10 years ago things were a lot different, and 20 years ago, completely different. 30 years ago, I went to that conference just last week, and the speaker said, if you are 40 years old or older, the world that you were born into no longer exists. It flat out no longer exists. And we look at today and think, boy, things have slid a whole long way, and we're a whole lot different, and how can things get any worse? Let me tell you, things can get a whole lot worse. But as born again, redeemed by the blood, empowered by the Holy Spirit, Christians, the truth of Jesus is the same truth that is within us. And that's what gives us hope. It doesn't matter how much the world is changing. It doesn't matter how much society is sliding into that deep, dark, nasty, sin-filled hole. If we have Jesus, then the truth of Jesus is within us. The character of Jesus is within us. And that gives us a reason to rejoice. And even though the world has its standards and its practices, we're called to higher standards and we're called to higher practices. And that's what character is all about. So let your character shine. Let His character shine in and through you. What exactly is character? It's doing the same thing whether somebody's in front of you or if you're by yourself. It's what God is calling you to do. You do it because it's the right thing, not because it's the popular thing. Character gives us a reason to stand. Character gives us a reason to get involved when we see a situation that somebody is hurting or in trouble. Character says, hey, even though we got $150 worth of coins and baby bottles up here, character says, I would never think of just walking off with one of those bottles. Character says, speaks so many things in our life. And character, by and large, is lacking in our society today. Wouldn't you agree? So let's change it. Let's let our character shine, which is actually Jesus's character. That's what character, and that's what following Jesus is all about. See, we see James echoing this teaching when it comes to our character and in dealing with others, and he's echoing Jesus's words here. So if you flip over to James chapter 5, verse 12, it says this, But above all, man, James talks about all sorts of stuff. We went through the series on James. Dan's teaching James in his class right now. You guys are going to be so blessed by learning more and more about James. But here we say, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Character matters. Worship team, if you guys would make your way back up here. Here's the takeaway from today's message. It's simple. Simple takeaway for today. Your character matters. What you do in society matters. I know you guys are always on your best behavior on Sunday mornings, right? You guys always come in here and it's like, wow, you guys are a bunch of angels. Can I be honest with you? As a pastor, I know better. I know better. I know that we're not always like we are on Sunday morning. I know that the rest of the week rolls around, and I know you walk into work and somebody comes at you and there's an injustice here or there. You hit your thumb with a hammer and things like, and I know sometimes things change. But what we have to do is understand that we're the character matters, that Jesus is within us, and that maybe we're not there right now. But every breath, every second, every minute, every hour, every day, we can strive to be just a little bit closer, a little bit more like Jesus, right? I wish when we got saved, boy, howdy. Nobody was a jerk anymore. Nobody had addictions anymore. Now, and sometimes that happens. Sometimes God touches people in such a way where they are radically changed. But usually upon salvation, Jesus says, man, I am in your life. You are redeemed. You are saved. You are headed to heaven. And you are now ready to start a great process. It's called sanctification. It's called let's work together. I've got things to do in you, and you've got things to come along, and we start this amazing process of becoming more and more and more like Jesus. Where does that stop? Well, it stops when you take your last breath on earth, and then you take your first breath in eternity. We never stop becoming more and more like Jesus. We have to have that attitude, and we have to have that desire. If our everyday standard of character reflects the character of Christ, we are freed up to live a life that is above reproach. A life that is above reproach. It's above people coming and making accusations against you. You know, you're seeing all this stuff come out in Hollywood. Big surprise, it's an immoral place, right? The way Hollywood treats women. Is anybody going, wow, I never knew that? It's kind of like cigarettes cause cancer. It's like you just kind of knew it from the beginning, but now that we see it happening, we're starting to understand, man, this was a messed up place. This is a bunch of people whose character had fallen to such the levels where terrible things were happening. These people were not living above reproach, right? They were not living above reproach. And we have to begin to understand that. And we have to understand that when we adopt the character of Jesus, when our yes is yes, when our no is no, when we put ourselves in situations where we are either protected or we're stepping out in such a way, if our character is true, even though an accusation can come against us, what we know is true and what we pray that God will bring out at the end is us living above reproach. I want to live that way. I want to live that way. You know, when you know, I don't even know if the election had taken place yet or not, but that whole thing about our vice president, Mike Pence, came out and he's like, no, man, I'm not having dinner with a woman that's not my wife alone, and I won't even get in an elevator with somebody of the opposite sex unless some other people are around there. And boy, everybody liked to make fun of that. The world loved to belittle him and say, old-fashioned and this and that. And that's a living a life that is above reproach. His character is dictating his actions. It's not the other way around, because all too often we allow our actions to define our character. But when we follow Christ, when we dive into his teachings like this, who at the surface it's just like, well, don't make an oath, don't promise to do something and not do it. There's so much more going on here in terms of our character. It's not just don't do it, but here's the reason you don't do it. And that leads us into a place where our character begins to reflect and look a whole lot more like Jesus. And we do live a life above reproach. Anybody want that in here? Anybody want that in your families? Anybody want that in your friends? High school kids, man, if you could truly trust your classmates, it would be a completely different high school, wouldn't it? If you could trust your teachers and the principals and things like that. And I'm not saying we got to distrust everybody. What I'm saying is it starts with each one of us living a life that's full of Jesus' character. Everybody, please stand up. We're going to close with a simple prayer. I know what you're saying is, yeah, your simple prayer's going for 15 minutes. But let me be honest with you. Today it's going to be short and simple. And then we're going to obviously open up the altars because they're always open. And we're going to leave here worshiping. Do me a favor today. Find somebody. Maybe you just haven't connected with them in a little bit. Maybe you've never met them before. On your way out, just go give a high five, give a hug. Just say, man, I'm praying for you. Do you need me to pray for anything? And let's let the character of Jesus shine. Now, if you say, hey, I'm going to be praying for you after we just read this message, what do you think we need to do? We need to pray because at Christians, One of the silliest things we do is as we say, oh, I'm going to be praying for you. And then we get busy and we forget, or we don't quite know how to pray. Don't say it if you don't mean it, but I know you guys will mean it. So on your way out, if you see a young family, just say, man, I'm going to be praying for those kids this week. Or if you're walking out and you see a herd of little kids come running up and all you hear is stomping, and you say, you know what, I'm going to pray about helping on Wednesday nights down there with that. And then be diligent to do that. Be diligent and say, you know what, I'm going to fast a meal tomorrow and I'm going to pray for this church. Do it. Just do it. Let's let our yes be yes and our no be no. Let's let our love be love, right? Let our trust be trust. Let our hope be hope. And let Jesus be Jesus in each one of our lives. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you call us to a higher standard. Lord God, we thank you that character matters to you, so it has to matter to us. And Lord God, we thank you by the power of the Holy Spirit that you infuse in us the ability to reflect your character. Lord, we understand it's still our choice to do so or not, but that option is there. And Lord God, I ask that each person in here, and I pray and I hope that each person in here will grab onto that and make that a reality in their life. Character matters. Your character matters. Let it be in us. Let us display it. Let us show it. And Lord God, the world may make fun of us. The world may belittle us. But I don't care, because greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. Lord God, that's our simple prayer for today. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.